بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. Continuing with the hadith which we started yesterday, قال الآخر اللهم إنه كانت لي ابنة عم كانت أحب الناس إلي، وفي رواية كنت أحبها كأشد ما يحب الرجال النساء، فأردتها على نفسها فامتنعت مني حتى ألمت بها سنة من السنين، فجاءتني فأعطيتها 20 و100 دينار على أن تخلي بيني وبين نفسها، ففعلت حتى إذا قدرت عليها، وفي رواية فلما قعدت بين رجليها قالت اتق الله ولا تفض الخاتم إلا بحقه، فانصرفت عنها وهي أحب الناس إلي، وتركت الذهب الذي أعطيتها. اللهم إن كنت فعلت ذلك ابتغاء وجهك فافرج عنا ما نحن فيه، فانفرجت الصخرة غير أنهم لا يستطيعون الخروج منها. This hadith narrates Abdullah bin Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As we mentioned, it is a famous hadith which is referred to as Hadith of Ghar, that is the hadith of the cave. These three people were trapped in a cave after they had taken refuge in it late one night. A rock fell and blocked the entrance. The first of the three, they decided to make dua based on some good deed that they did, which they did solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned yesterday, the first of the three made dua on the basis of the special khidmat which he made to his elderly parents. As we mentioned, we're living in a time or period where unfortunately this bimari or sickness has become very common amongst us, not realizing the rights of the parents, particularly when they reach old age. We find that this is a time when we should be increasing our khidmat, our services towards them, and gaining their du'as. We find that there is a lot of barakat, a lot of blessing in the du'a of one's parents. Very often I mention this incident, Mawlana Umar Paranpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is a personality well known to every one of us. All the ijtimas throughout the world, he would deliver the main bayan. Sometimes the majma would be 1 million, 2 million people, and he was particularly known for the beautiful manner in which he would recite the Qur'an. Once we were sitting with him many years ago, and himself he mentioned, he said that when my father passed away, we got into difficult financial times. My maternal grandparents offered to assist us on the condition that I must do secular education. He said my mother wanted me to do dini education, so she did not accept the request of her parents for financial assistance, and we lived in relative poverty in a little hut. He says, late one night, I remember I returned from madrasa, there was only a lantern, and my mother asked me to make revision of the sabak which I had learned that day in madrasa, and I started reciting Surah Al-Qari'ah. And tears entered the eyes of my mother, and she looked at me and she said, oh my son, today you are reading this surah, I am listening to you. Allah Ta'ala must bring that day that you read the Qur'an and millions listen to you. So we find that in his lifetime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this dua of his mother. So we find here also a miracle is performed. This rock moves slightly on the basis of khidmat and service towards one's parents. Continue with the hadith. The second person said that, O Allah, I had a cousin whom I loved intensely, very, very passionately. In fact, in one riwayat it is mentioned, he said that, as much as it is possible for any man to love a woman, I love this cousin of mine. And I intended to commit zina with her. However, she resisted. She fell onto difficult financial times and she came to me in her hour of need. I agreed to assist her financially. I proffered 120 dinars to her on the condition that she should allow me to have relations with her. Because of her financial circumstances, she agreed. He says, until I reached a position where I was able to carry out the wrong that I wanted to do. Comes in one riwayat, I was sitting in a position, I had reached right that point where a person is about to indulge in sexual relations. And as a last gasp attempt, she said, that fear Allah and do not break the barrier of virginity except with its haq and its right. So he says, at that time I came to my senses and I moved away from her. Despite the fact that she was the most beloved person on this earth to me. And I gave her the gold also, the 120 dinars, that it is gold coins. I gave it to her and I walked away from her. And then he said, "Oh Allah, if I have done this particularly or solely to seek your pleasure, then remove this difficulty which we now find ourselves in." And again this rock moved a little bit, but still it was not sufficient for the three of them to come out. So the second amal or action which this person did, in other words, resisting sexual attraction, this requires a very high level of iman and taqwa. We see the permissive society that we are living in. At least this much, the starting point, Islam teaches us the importance of lowering our gaze. A lot of times you get many people that come and they say that, you know, I'm not able to concentrate in my salah, it's very difficult. All sorts of thoughts, etc. are coming. Ulama mentioned that one of the major causes for lack of concentration in one's salah, etc., is the failure to lower one's gaze. They say like wudu is a condition. Without wudu, you cannot make salah. They say to that extent, lowering one's gaze or controlling one's gaze is a condition. If you want khushu and khudu, if you want that concentration in your salah, if you want the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mentioned about one tabi'i, Habib bin Umayr radiallahu ta'ala, and he was taken captive by a Roman king. Youngster, he was placed in a jail cell, locked up. A beautiful Roman princess was put naked in the same cell with him. And she was told, then make him commit zina, make him commit wrong. Sharab was put there, pork was put there. 3 days, three nights passed. She tried whatever she could. However, he never even looked at her. He never raised his gaze. So after 3 days, she became frustrated and she said, that what is wrong with you? Why don't you look at me? At that time he spoke. He said, there is one zat and there is one being. Al-ghayb indahu shahada wa sirru indahu alaniya. That the hidden is known to him. The secrets are apparent to him. O woman, it is the fear of Allah that is not allowing me to look at you. So she went back to the king and she said, أَيُّهَا الْمَلِكِ إِلَىٰ مَنْ أَرْسَلْتَنِي إِلَىٰ حَجَرٍ وَحَدِيدٍ. She said, O king, to whom did you send me? To send me to a piece of lead? Did you send me to a stone? لَا يَأْكُلْ وَلَا يَنْظُرْ. He doesn't look, he does not eat. So we find that if we control our gaze, Allah Ta'ala will give us that level of iman, Allah will give us that spiritual strength to resist the temptation to commit haram. However, unfortunately, with this shaitan boxes in our homes and the type of society that we are living in nowadays, where we look in our work environment, etc., these are the things that are destroying the iman, and this is the things that are destroying the marriages of the ummah also. It is very, very important, my respected brothers, that we try and develop within ourselves this taqwa, this consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, and particularly become conscious of controlling our gaze. Allah give us tawfiq.